So this month, as it is every month this year, our theme is a question. What does it mean to be a person of blank? And each month we'll be filling in that blank with another characteristic of the kind of person our Unitarian Universalist faith calls on us to be. Now, I know that it's often said that our Unitarian Universalism is a low-demand religion, but I think that does us a disservice. I know that it's one of the things that's particularly attractive to a lot of us, yet I don't think that a religious or a spiritual faith that doesn't make some demands on us is ultimately worth all that much. Kind of like an exercise regimen that allows you to stay seated on the couch eating potato chips and never pushes you. Not worth all that much. So every month this year, we'll be looking at a different aspect of the kind of person our Unitarian Universalist faith calls us to be. And this month, we're asking what it means to be a person of letting go. To be a person of letting go. Now, you hear about letting go all the time. 12-step folks say let go and let God, hand it over. From all sorts of traditions, we hear about the importance of not being attached. Not being attached to things, people, emotions. And how the key to eternal happiness and contentment is to be found in detachment, which is, of course, just another way of saying letting go. We've heard it and hear it so often that we may no longer ask ourselves why we're hearing it. Why is it a good thing to learn how to let go? After all, this letting go goes against what appears to be human nature. I mean, we want to hold on to things. We don't want to let go. When my kids were little, they even held on to the boxes that their favorite toys came in. And recently, when I was talking to them about maybe getting rid of the wooden kitchen playset that they had so much fun in when they were toddlers, my now teenager said that no thanks, they'd rather hold on to it for a few more years. All through our lives, we are asked to, forced to, let go of so many things. And in virtually every case, it is really hard to do so because when we get right down to it, we don't want to. Even people with an addiction can find it hard to let go of, no matter how much they know how bad it is for them. When Arthur and I were brainstorming for this service, he told me about an empowerment workshop that he's offered in the past. It begins, he says, with a deceptively simple question. If you can have your life exactly the way you want, what would that look like? If you can have your life exactly the way you want, what would that be like? If your life could be the life that you can now only imagine, what would it be? Some of us undoubtedly had some trouble coming up with an answer. Some of us, no doubt, had no trouble at all. Something popped into our minds before I even finished the question. Yet for either one, I'd wager that the attempt at coming up with an answer also raised up all sorts of reasons why you can't have your life exactly as you want it. We do that. We dream dreams of what we could be doing with our lives and then almost simultaneously begin to tell ourselves all of the reasons that they are just dreams and will never be anything but. Of course, if my answer to Arthur's question is that my life exactly the way I want it is the life of a rock star astronaut super spy, well, that's a dream that'll probably always remain a dream. Of course, stranger things have happened. Actually, they haven't. You may have, or at least have had, dreams like that too. Dreams that really are unattainable. Yet if I really sit with Arthur's question, live with it a bit, chew on it, and digest it over time, I'll probably find that rock star, astronaut, super spy isn't the life I really want to live. I want to live a life with some adventure in it, maybe. A life that takes some courage to live. A life that has some mystery, some intrigue in it. That whole rock star, astronaut, super spy was just a metaphor. See, if we really sit with that question and really open ourselves up to its invitation, we will come to an answer that's not just a fantasy dream answer, but an answer that is real. And that, Arthur said in his workshop, is a seed, that something real. And the vision we have of the plant in full bloom gives us a goal, something to strive for, lets us know where we want to go, where we have to go, if we want to live the life we most deeply want to be living. Of course, before we do anything else, we need to prepare the soil for the planting of that seed. We have to create a space for whatever it is that we're planting to grow. This will certainly include pulling out some weeds and picking out what no doubt will be more than a few rocks that we'll have to toss off to the side. We may even have to get clearing out some of the surrounding plants so as to make sure that our plant gets the right amount of sun and shade. And all of this is, of course, letting go. In order to plant the seed of the life we most deeply want to live, the life that for us will be most fully and truly alive, we have to get rid of, let go of, those things that will make the attainment of our goal that much harder. The hurts that we're holding on to, the limiting labels that we have been given or have taken on to ourselves, the pain that paralyzes, that voice that whispers in our ear about how not enough we are. These things have to be cleared from the soil before we can plant. We have to let them go. Now, one of the things I love about juggling as a practice and a metaphor is that it directly, viscerally addresses the question of how to let things go. After all, juggling is about nothing if not letting go. As I said when I was demonstrating it earlier, what you need to learn when you're learning to juggle is how to throw the ball, how to release it, how to let it go. Catching isn't something that we need to learn. No matter how clumsy any of us feel, catching is a natural act. Because catching is just a form of holding on. And we humans are really good at that. What we need to learn then as juggling padawans is how to throw, how to get rid of the balls in our hands, how to let things go. And the way to do that, the learning of juggling teaches us, is step by excruciatingly incremental step. Here's how I teach it. One ball, dominant hand, up and down, over and over again. One ball, non-dominant hand, up and down, over and over again. One ball, hand to hand, over and over again. That can take a while. Two balls, starting with the dominant hand each time, over and over again. Two balls, starting with the non-dominant hand, over and over again. Step by excruciatingly incremental step. Each new step giving us practice in letting go. Each new step giving us another opportunity to experience in our bodies this letting go. Each new step making the next one possible. Not easy, necessarily, but possible. And things generally go along smoothly until we get to that step I was talking with the kids about, that step where we've got two balls in the air and the one that's stuck, absolutely and completely stuck in our hands. Now, I didn't tell the kids this, but it took me a year to learn to juggle. Now, because of my time on the program staff of summer camps, I think that over the years I've probably taught about 2,000 people how to juggle, maybe a bit more. And I can say with near certainty that if you give me an hour of your attention and you practice then for at least 5 minutes a day for a week, at the end of that time, you will be able to juggle. And it took me a year to learn. It took me a year because as a teenager who was already a magician and had the persona of a circusy guy, I was stuck on the idea that I should be able to juggle. That I should be able to juggle already. And that if, after all, I did need to learn something, it should be easy. Which it wasn't. It took me a year because I wasn't able to let go of my own sense of self, my preconceived image of who I was, and maybe even more importantly, who I thought others thought I was. I guess it was my ego that I wasn't able to let go of. And I was stuck. So where are you stuck in your life? Something to do with your job? A relationship that you want to start or need to end? Or that isn't going right where it is? An addiction that you're wrestling with, that you think you need to wrestle with alone? A decision that you have to but can't quite seem to make? Getting your finances in order? Maybe you're stuck at the point of not being able to give yourself permission to do whatever the thing is that you most want to do but can't seem to do. Maybe that's the stuck place. Most often I think that the glue that holds us tight is fear. When I was learning, or I guess not learning to juggle, I was afraid that people would think less of me and that my rep as a seasoned pro would suffer if I couldn't get it just right away. Others that I've taught have said they're afraid that people will laugh at them if they fumble, or that here, on the brink of actually getting it, they might prove to themselves that they really didn't, never did have a chance after all, that they were destined to failure from the start. Whatever the reason, we all found ourselves with that ball glued into our hands with the thick, sticky glue of fear. So what's the fear or the fears that have got you glued in place? Fear of failure? Fear of loneliness? Of people laughing at you or walking away from you? Letting yourself or someone else down? Fear that the new unknown might not actually be all that much better than the old known, no matter how bad that is? Father Rohr, in that reading we heard a moment ago, gave all these fears an unambiguous name, our fear of loss and death. And those three primary energy centers that he refers to, our need for power and control, our need for safety and security, and our need for affection and esteem, those three energy centers seem to be where all the action is. When those things are threatened, and at least one of them is threatened every single time we try to let go of something to make room for something new, well, the glue is thick and fast setting. One of the reasons it can be so difficult to face those fears and let go of the things that we're holding onto and that are holding us here when we really want to be going there, is that we get it in our minds that if we only could get past this thing, it'll be smooth sailing downhill on a greased track all the way. Yet we know that that's not how things work. So even though we may more or less consciously tell ourselves that this is where we're stuck, we're afraid that there's just more stuckness on the other side of it. From the vantage point of this place and this mindset, we are completely convinced that the goal is unattainable. So even if we did manage to get over this thing, even if we did manage to let go of the thing that we're stuck on, what's the point? Only more stuckness ahead. And that's exactly why at this point in juggling training, you don't even try to throw it in the pattern. You just throw it. You throw it hard. You throw it wild without worrying about doing it right. You do whatever it takes to get that ball out of your hand, to break through the stuckness, to let it go. And that, it turns out, just about everybody is able to do. Yes. And when you get rid of that ball, you open up a space. See, this is all tying together here. You open up a space in which to catch the ball that's in the air. And once you can do that, the three-ball cascade, as it's called, is just practice away. Arthur used to tell participants in his workshop that the seed doesn't just become the fruit. The seed doesn't just become the fruit. It takes time. Preparing the soil is one step. Planting the seed is one step. Watering is a step. Making sure that the growing plant gets enough sun, but not too much. Feeding and mulching and weeding, these are all steps, excruciatingly incremental steps. Yet each one is absolutely essential. The seed doesn't just become fruit. And just because I've managed to hurl that ball out of my hand doesn't mean I'm a juggler. I then have to work it into the pattern that I'm trying to make. And then, in the way I teach anyway, I try to do three throws three times. One, two, three. Two, two, three. Three, two, three. Always starting with my dominant hand. Then one, two, three. Starting with the non-dominant hand. And if I can do three throws three times, then I try four throws. And on and on, step by incrementally, excruciatingly small step. The teacher of my teacher's teacher wrote a book in which he describes the penultimate exercise in this method of teaching and learning on your path to becoming a juggler. You throw three throws three times without dropping. If you can do that, you throw four throws four times without dropping. Then five throws five times, six throws six times, all the way up to 10 throws 10 times without dropping. If you drop, you have to go back to three throws three times and do it all again. But when you complete this exercise, he said, and it took me about a month, when you complete the exercise, you are ready for the final step. Continuing to practice for the rest of your life. See, that's why we need to be people of letting go. That's what it means to be a person of letting go. Because this stuckness, whatever we've been thinking about this morning, this stuckness won't just happen to us once. All through our lives, we'll be asked to and forced to let go of so many things. And if we don't, we'll be and we'll remain stuck. And folks, we weren't meant to live lives of stuckness. Stuckness is what one of our religious predecessors, Henry David Thoreau, was thinking of when he wrote, "The mass of humanity lead lives of quiet desperation." What is called resignation is confirmed desperation. And then he adds, "But it is a characteristic of wisdom not to do desperate things." It's a characteristic of wisdom not to do desperate things. We are not meant to live our lives stuck. If you can have your life exactly the way you want it, what would it look like? Sit with that question during the offering. Talk with someone about it maybe during the social hour. Ask it of yourself this afternoon and this evening and throughout the week. If you can have your life exactly the way you want it, what would it look like? And then look for the place where you are most intransigently stuck, and I invite you then to take a step. It may not be pretty. You may not do it right, but do it. Whatever it is, whatever that step is, do it. The steps that follow may be excruciatingly incremental, yet each new step we take gives us practice in letting go. Each step gives us another opportunity to experience in our lives this letting go. And before we know it, even without our knowing it, this letting go becomes second nature. And we don't even think about it anymore. And that is where the fun is.